Today's scripture reading is from John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God.
In the days of Jesus, agriculture was king. And it wasn't just to make a buck. It was a matter of life and death. Jesus spoke to the agricultural nature of the people, helping them to understand the need for being fed with the right spiritual nutrients, for the weeds of their hearts to be managed, for the pruning of the parts of their lives that kept them from bearing fruit. Join us as we dig in, get our hands dirty, and learn how to bear fruit for the kingdom, starting with good dirt.
Well, good morning. For the past 2 weeks, we've been in this sermon series, Good Dirt, and we're getting back to the basics, getting back to our roots, literally and spiritually. And as the video has said, week after week, during the time of Jesus, agriculture was a way of life. It was king. It was the economy of the entire world. And thus far, in the teachings of Jesus that we have lifted up throughout this sermon series, we get some pretty bad farming advice, but good advice for the kingdom of God. Amen? Metaphors or parables that Jesus uses throughout the scriptures are meant to point beyond themselves and meant to illuminate the way that it is in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus often uses these metaphors in order to explain how the kingdom of God functions. What's the economy like in the kingdom of God? Where do we come in as Jesus's followers? These parables hold a deep theological meaning, and at the heart of them all are two focuses: how it is in our relationship with God and how it is in our relationship with others. At least how it should be. And so for the past 2 weeks, we've heard a couple of parables. The first week, we heard about the different kinds of soil and our call to be good and fertile soil, receptive to the seeds of the gospel being planted in our lives, and then our call to be seed slingers for the gospel good news. And then last week, we heard about the parable between the weeds and the wheat, right? How we're not supposed to uproot the weeds, because in doing so, it could harm and damage the very thing that we're trying to plant. And so, to be honest with you, last Sunday, after worship was over, it was a beautiful day. I went home and I did some weeding in my garden. I don't know, maybe you did too. But listen, it wasn't to be spiteful or it wasn't to go against God's word, because again, this scripture and these parables are not about literal farming, but they're about how it is in the kingdom of God, how things take root and take shape, how we are called to live in response to God's love and God's grace. These scriptures, and including the one today, reveal how it is in God's kingdom and how we might take it and apply it to our lives so that we can live out the life that God has called us to. And so today, in the scripture that we heard this morning from John 15, we receive some pretty good and solid farming advice. And I want you to get ready for it, because it is really good and solid farming advice, but it is also really good and solid advice when it comes to the kingdom of God. Amen? So, as we dive into our scripture for this morning, will you pray with me? Let's pray. Holy and living God, we give you great thanks and praise that you are with us throughout every journey and every season of life. And so, God, we pray that you might come into this place and help us to acknowledge your presence, because, God, you are already here. And, God, we pray that we might be your vessels, that you might fill us up to abounding and overflowing with your love and with your grace. And so, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, because, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. And all of God's people said, amen. So, growing up on the apple farm, we had this neighbor who was very frugal, and they would visit the farm about once a week, and they just wanted to hang out and maybe talk a little bit, and occasionally they would buy a few apples. And one fall, this neighbor became so outraged because his favorite apple variety had increased double in price. Do you know a Honeycrisp apple is one of the most expensive apples on the face of the planet? Honeycrisp are my favorite. Not really. I like Melrose, which is the Jonathan and Red Delicious crossbreed, but we can talk about that later. But do you know what a Honeycrisp apple tastes like? Yeah? It is delicious. Amen? It is divine and a gift from God because it is so good. And especially if you put it in the fridge, even more delicious. Try it sometime. But Honeycrisp costs about $20 a half a peck. And that's double almost any other apple variety. And so this neighbor came by and he was outraged because it costs so much. He started demanding a reason why with the Apple House cashier and demanding that he talked to me or my dad. And this neighbor, so frugal, he went to our bag your own apple selection section of the farm. And we have these apple slicer cores out on every corner of the apple bin so that people could taste test, right? Honeycrisp was always the most popular, so we went through those fast. But we had an apple slicer core full of apples, and he stood in the wings just waiting until all of the slices were gone. And so then he could take the center because it had the seeds. And so he went home one year after he harvested the core from an apple slicer core, and he tried to germinate it. And during that conversation with my dad that day, he asked him all the tips, right? How do you germinate an apple seed? What's the next steps for producing and helping it to grow fruit? And so after about a 30-minute conversation, he thought that he knew everything there was to grow about apples. And he went home. He took the apples out of the core. He managed to get it to germinate and sprout. And then a couple of months later, in the spring of the next year, he planted it right in his front yard. And after about a couple of growing seasons, 6 years to be in fact, he let it grow and grow and grow. And it continued to grow, and it was about 6 feet tall. And the spring had come of that sixth year, and he saw all of these blossoms and all of this beautiful growth and all of these clusters and pods on the branches. And that those would soon become the sought-after Honeycrisp apples. And so that summer, he called my dad, this frugal neighbor. He asked him, hey, could you stop by my house and give me some techniques on what I should do next? And my dad told him one word, prune. You have to prune the tree. And he showed up at his house and even tried to explain how you should prune the tree in order for it to bear more fruit and increase its strong and sturdy branches, and in order to make the tree more healthy and more vital as a whole. And don't make sure that you cut the branches that are overlaying on and overlapping on top of one another so that they can be more suited to bear the weight of the fruit that they will grow. And this neighbor, what did he say? What do you think? No! He's watched this. He's babied this plant since it's been a seed. And he said, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to prune this at all. And so he increased his use of fertilizer. He increased his use of water. And he called my dad almost every morning like clockwork at 8:57 every day for a month. And he looked at it and he said, well, this amount of bees are buzzing around the tree. I have this many flowers, these many buds, and this many apples on the tree. And my dad was like, you need to prune or something's going to happen. And so that fall, the second week of September, a rainstorm came through and all of these tennis ball sized apples that were once on the tree were now on the ground, as well as a split branch or two. And the neighbor had tears in his eyes. He had watched it germinate from a seed, and so he took some zip ties and tried to put them all back together, even some duct tape. And the next morning he comes to the farm with tears in his eyes, and he asked my dad, "Hey, can you come over one more time? I need to fix this now." "Prune," is the only thing that my dad said. And so the next spring, the trees were in blossom, and he carefully and meticulously looked at each branch, this neighbor, one by one, and remembered all that my dad had taught him and pruned a little bit of growth in each branch. My friends, without pruning, the life that we live, the life that exists, cannot be sustained, because it'll continue to grow and grow, and eventually and inevitably it will be unable to be supported by the tree. And in our scripture passage for this morning, Jesus tells us that he is the vine and that we are the branches, and that even the branches that bear good fruit, and fruit in and of itself, needs to be pruned. And it is God who does this. This pruning is intentional work so that you and I, together, we might bear more glory for the kingdom of God. We might bear more fruit for the kingdom of God. We might bear more grace throughout our lives and more love as we live into the kingdom. I want to invite you. There are three questions that I want to pose to you this morning. Two of them are short, one's long. But if you want to write it in the margin of your Bible or a piece of paper that you have, here's the questions. What pruning or changes need to take place in me or my life? What pruning or changes need to take place in me or my life? And the second question is, what are the thoughts, habits, values, or actions in my life? Not just me, but yours as well, right? That are inconsistent with God's will. And then the third question, how can I more fully abide in Christ? Amen? So if you haven't already, open up your Bibles to John chapter 15. And there's Bibles in front of you. There are, we have the Bible app that you can follow along on. But I want to give you a little bit of context about this passage. John chapter 15, it's right in the middle of what's called the farewell discourse, which expands from John chapter 14 through John chapter 17. And in this section, Jesus is giving a farewell to his disciples. He's telling them and preparing them for everything that lies ahead. And he's reminding his disciples and us as well of everything that Jesus taught while he was still in their midst. And his parting words are meant to give encouragement to his followers, strength for the days ahead. And he knows all of these trials, all of these things that they're going to face. And he knows that he's only going to be with them a little while longer. And so Jesus urges the disciples and urges us as well here in John chapter 15. Hey, you need to abide. Abide in me. He's speaking this word of hope and trust and obedience to the souls of the first disciples and for us as well. And it's through this abiding, through this farewell, that we find our connectedness with one another. That as each branch abides in the vine of Christ, that abiding will produce endurance and character and strength, the nutrients that are necessary in order to produce fruit and good fruit and an abundance of fruit. And if anybody has known anything about farming before, or if you've done any gardening or farming before, you will know that what Jesus is referring to here in the Gospel of John chapter 15 is really good advice and pretty accurate when it comes to fruit growing, when it comes to pomology, which is the science of growing fruit. And it's not only applicable to fruit that grows on the vine, but also fruit that grows on the tree and fruit that we bear as disciples of Christ. Jesus says, "I am the vine," right? Can we say that together? "I am the vine." And then he says, "You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." And this is some imagery that we can get down with, right? It gives us the warm and fuzzies kind of, "I am the vine," Jesus says, "and you are the branches." Jesus is telling us that if we abide in him, then he will abide in us. And together we can bear much fruit, but apart from him, we can do nothing, not even bear fruit. And we want to bear fruit, right? We want to grow fruit for the kingdom. We want to bring honor and glory to the kingdom of God. We want to do as Jesus has instructed. We want to be fruitful and multiply for the kingdom. But there is this crucial step in fruit cultivation that Jesus highlights that we need to lift up today. Pruning. Can we say that together? It sounds painful. And it is painful. It makes you want to pucker up, right? And in Jesus' illustration, even the branches that bear fruit need to be pruned. It's a pruning that is a task that the vine nor the branches can do on their own, but pruning is done by the vine grower, the Father, as Jesus lays out in verse 1. The vine grower is the one who cultivates and cares for and prunes all of the branches, even the dead and the diseased branches, the no fruit-bearing branches, and even the ones who bear fruit. The Greek word here for prune in John chapter 15 also means cleanse. And we get this from John 15:3, where it says, "You," Jesus says, "you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you." It's a cleansing, a making pure, a free from blemishes and free to bear fruit, all in the name because we are cleansed. Vines and trees need to be tended in order for them to bear fruit. And if there's no harvest or no yield, then what is their worth? Branches by themselves have no value at all unless they stay connected to the vine or to the tree. Jesus calls us in verse 4, "Abide in me," Jesus says, "as I abide in you." The branches cannot bear fruit on their own. No fruit-bearing ability, no life, no vitality. But if you abide in me and I in you, the branches will remain connected. You will remain connected. You will abide. My friends, our faithfulness is not determined by our outward and the elaborate rituals or even by our works. But our faithfulness is determined by the connectedness that we have in our relationship with God and others. Amen? We often need to take a step back in our lives to see how God is at work in our lives, pruning us and shaping us and making us into disciples that God wants us to be. And that was often a phrase that I heard in the orchard as we brought new folks on to prune trees in the spring and in the fall. Take a step back and look at the big picture. My dad, my uncle, myself, even a couple of other people would often say that in the orchard as we were teaching folks how to prune the tree. You need to take a look at each cut that is being made and how it will affect the larger tree. Because pruning, after all, does affect the larger tree. But it's a necessary process in order to bear more fruit. It's a continual process all throughout our lives that God is shaping us and pruning us. And sometimes we'll need to be more aggressive in our pruning. And sometimes we'll need to have a little bit less pruning go on in our lives. And it's not about destruction. It's not about damage. It's about health and vitality of the entire body, the body of Christ and the entire vine, the vine of Christ. And if we're left to ourselves, we can grow wildly, right? But we need to be shaped. We need to be pruned. Apple trees and grapevines, if they're left to themselves, they will grow these things called suckers. Did you know that? Can we say that together? I'm going to make you say suckers in church. Get ready.
Suckers.
One more time.
Suckers.
Oh, twice. Yes. So apple trees or grapevines will make you grow these things called, well, they will grow suckers if they're left to themselves. And it's these branches that will just grow straight up. They will produce leaves, but they won't necessarily produce blossoms or apples as a whole. And for these suckers, it's all about them. They take nutrients. They take water. They suck up everything, all even the life out of the rest of the tree. Water and nutrients and life, and it keeps the rest of the tree from growing good fruit, big fruit, high quality, flavorful fruit. And then the rest of the tree ends up growing small, mediocre fruit that is flavorless. Much like our life, it can become overgrown, pulled in too many different directions, and we need to cut back. And so what's something in your life and mine that is getting in the way of your relationship with God? What's something in your life and mine that has caused us to veer off from our relationship? And what in your life and mine is life sucking rather than life giving? Schedules? Meetings? Sports games? My friends, we need to go through a process of pruning. Amen? To put God back at the center of our lives. And if we're honest, we would rather not go through a sense and a season of continual pruning, because if we're honest, we don't want to face the pain that pruning is. And even while we want that growth, even while we want that love and that grace to be at work in our lives, the growth to take place in our hearts and in our lives, we would rather not go through the pain that pruning is. But that's where the abiding comes in. Our call, friends, first and foremost, is to abide in Christ. Amen? To acknowledge that we need a Savior in our lives, to recognize that we cannot save ourselves, to recognize that we cannot even prune ourselves, that we are consumed by the muck and the mire, the sin of our lives, and we need to recognize that God needs to be at work, and God is at work, bringing about redemption and restoration in our lives. And as we begin to realize this, we begin to abide more and more in Jesus. The word itself is a giving and an action. It's an occurrence. It's a state of being. And how do we abide in Christ? It's not some great mystery, right? We do this by praying. We do this by communally gathering together in worship. We do this by getting into God's word and coming together as the disciples of Christ. As we abide, it makes life more palatable. It makes pruning easier because we have a life source that is continuing to give us nutrients and strength and sustenance. Again, the branches cannot prune themselves, but only the vine grower, God, is the one who shapes us and prunes us, the beautiful and beloved creation that God has called us to be. If you take a step back and take an inventory of your entire life, looking at your thoughts and your characters and your values, your beliefs, your ideas, even your habits, and you ask yourself, is this all in line with what God is calling me to be? Is this all in line with God's will for my life? And at some point, if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is going to be no. There are some things that need to change in our lives. Some things that God is calling us to prune away and that God will prune away from our lives. Repent, Jesus says. Change your thinking. Change the way that you are living, because the way that I am calling you to live, that's what you should focus on. In our lives, we need God to prune away those things that draw nutrients, that suck the life out of us, and even draw our focus away from God. We struggle with this. And it's not just an issue that we're dealing with today. Even during the time of Paul writing to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then you will be able to test the perfect will of God and approve what God's will is, that is good and pleasing. This call from Paul to the believers in Christ is not just to the people in Rome, and don't just go along to get along, but it's a call to us today to focus on the teachings of Jesus Christ and the life that God intends for you to live always. Amen. We are called to be the branches and to abide in Christ. For the past 2 weeks, the proposed 2020 General Conference of the United Methodist Church has been meeting, and they finally met after 4 years of it being postponed. And as it was mentioned at the beginning of the service, we will be hosting a What Just Happened here at Ebenezer on May 20th, and it will also be live streamed. And we're going to go over and discuss what happened, right, at General Conference and how it affects us as a local church. And here's what I want you to know. That this sermon series, and specifically this passage about pruning and abiding, has been in works and scheduled since last year, and is not intended to correlate with anything that has happened at General Conference. And this series and this scripture passage, as well as all of our sermons, are intended to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Scripture is used to edify our lives in Christ and not as a tool for our thoughts and our actions and our desires or even our motives. Additionally, Jesus in the scripture passage, in the first two verses, says that God is the vine grower, not us. God is the one who nurtures and cares and prunes, not us. Not a conference, not a church or a group of people. And likewise, the branches are not a group of people, nor churches, nor conferences. They are individuals. All of us should be striving together to stay connected to Christ and abide on the vine. Each one of us have a task as followers of Jesus Christ to abide and bear fruit and to be receptive to the pruning and the shaping and the teachings of Jesus. Amen? We need to be willing to abide in Christ in the midst of all of the difficulties of life and to allow the fruit of our abiding presence and the love and the grace of Christ to be at the forefront and to make it known throughout the world. Hear this again. We are not the ones who do the pruning. That job is left to the vine grower, which is God and God alone. And in those moments and times of being pruned and as we abide on the vine, know this, my friends, that God is with us, making a way for new growth to take shape. And it's not about us or our brokenness or our qualifications, but it is about the one who invites us and makes that invitation, sets up a place for us on the vine. And as we abide more and more, we acknowledge it's not solely about us, but it's about the one who has invited us, who has spread his arms on the rough wood of the cross and embraced the world and said, "You belong to me." Amen.